mini set, and there were some performers that were going to go after the mini set who aren't here, so I think I'll come around and talk to a couple of you about coming up after this gentleman. This gentleman is Ed Bannett, and he's frequently at the Roslindale Open Mic. He's been here a couple of times as an open micer, and you can expect the unexpected. It might be, I can say that. It might be sung, it might be spoken, it will definitely be interesting, and he's got a wonderful sense of humor. And so I am looking forward with pleasure to see what he does tonight. Please give Ed Bannett a big welcome.
Thank you, Ellen. I'm so pleased to be here that all I can say is, hello, Nourish! Hello. First of all, I'd like to thank Ellen Schmidt for the opportunity to perform here at the mini set at the Nourish at Lexington. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. My name is Ed Bannett, and I'm a walking minstrel. I like to make people laugh, so I go around telling stories, reciting poetry, telling jokes. I can even entertain you on the piano, and I've been known to sing a song or two. I heard this story about a fellow by the name of Harold. Now, Harold was my kind of guy. Every night after work, he'd go down to the local liquor store, buy himself a six-pack of beer, take it home, and drink it while he's watching television. My kind of guy. One night after Harold had finished his sixth beer, the doorbell rings, and Harold staggers over to the door. And when he opens it, there's this six-foot-tall cockroach standing there. And he grabs Harold by the shirt and flings him across the room. And then the big bug leaves. Harold picks himself up and he says, "What was that all about?" The next night, after Harold had finished his third beer, again, the doorbell rings. And Harold cautiously walks over to the door. And when he answers it, there's this six-foot-tall cockroach again. And he punches Harold in the stomach and takes off. Harold picks himself up and he says, "What did I do to deserve that?" The next night, after Harold had finished his first beer, again, the doorbell rings. And there's this six-foot-tall cockroach again. And he knees Harold in the groin. And when Harold doubles over in pain, he slaps him upside the head. And then the big bug takes off again. Harold picks himself up. He says, "What the heck's going on?" The next night, Harold didn't drink any beer. Still, the doorbell rings. And when he answers it, there's our friendly, or maybe not so friendly, six-foot-tall cockroach again. And he beats the living heck out of Harold and leaves him in a heap on the living room floor. I tell you, Harold had had enough. The next day he went to the doctor and explained to him what happened to him the previous four nights. He says, "Doctor, doctor," he says, "what can I do?" Doctor says, "Well, I'm afraid there's really not much he can do," he says. "There's just this nasty bug going around." Thank you very much. I heard this story about an Irishman by the name of Paddy, who was working on a construction site in England. Now, Patty was an unfortunate sort of a character. Nothing ever seemed to work out right for him. And he had one of those days, you know, one of those days that starts out bad and gets progressively worse as it goes along. We've all had them from time to time. But by the end of the day, Patty was in such poor condition that he was unable to go to work for a couple of weeks. So he wrote his boss a letter explaining in great detail exactly what had happened to him and why he was unable to go to work. And the name of the song is Dear Boss. Dear Boss, I write this note to you to tell you of me plight. For at the time of writing, I am not a pretty sight. Me body is all black and blue, me face a deathly gray. And I write this note to tell you why I'm not at work today. While working on the 14th floor, some bricks I had to clear, but to toss them down from such a height was not a good idea. The foreman wasn't very pleased. He was an awkward sod. He said I had to cart them down the ladders in me hod. Now shifting all those bricks by hand, it was so very slow. So I hoisted up a barrel and secured the rope below. But in me haste to do the job, I was too blind to see that a barrel full of building bricks was heavier than me. And so when I untied the rope, the barrel fell like lead. And clinging tightly to the rope, I started up instead. I shot up like a rocket, till to my dismay I found, halfway up, I met the bloody barrel coming down. The barrel broke me shoulder as to the ground it sped. And when I reached the top, I struck the pulley with me head. I held on tightly, numb with shock from this almighty blow, while the barrel spilled out half its bricks 14 floors below. Now when those bricks had fallen from the barrel to the floor, sure I then outweighed the barrel and so started down once more, still clinging tightly to the rope, me body racked with pain. Halfway down, I met the bloody barrel once again. The result of this collision, halfway down the office block, caused multiple contusions and a nasty state of shock. Still clinging tightly to the rope, I sped toward the ground, and I landed on the broken bricks the barrel had scattered round. As I lay there, moaning on the floor, I thought I'd passed the worst. But the barrel hit the pulley wheel, and then the bottom burst. A shower of bricks rained down on me. I didn't have a hope. For as I lay there bleeding, I let go the bloody rope. The barrel being unsecured, it started down once more, and it landed right across me as I lay there on the floor. It broke three ribs and my left arm, and I can only say that I hope you'll understand why Patty's Not at work today. For my third song, can I have a chair, please? Here we go. My third song is from Johnny Cash, called A Boy Named Sue. That's fine. My daddy left home when I was three. He didn't leave much for my ma and me. Just an old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him, because he run and hid. But the meanest thing my daddy ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue. Well, he must have thought that was quite a joke, and it got a lot of laughs from lots of folk. It seems I had to fight my whole life through. Some gal would giggle, and I'd turn red, and some guy would laugh, and I'd bust his head. I tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue. Well, I grew up quick and I grew up mean. My fists grew hard and my wits grew keen. And I'd roam from town to town to hide my shame. But I made me a vow to the moon and stars that I'd search the honky-tonks and bars and kill that man who gave me that awful name. Well, it was Gatlinburg in mid-July, and I just hit town, and my throat was dry, and I thought I'd stop and have myself a brew. In an old saloon on a street of mud, there at a table, dealing stud, was the dirty, mangy dog who named me Sue. Well, I knew that snake was my own sweet dad from a worn-out picture that my mother'd had. And I knew that scar on his cheek and his evil eye. Well, he was big and bent and gray and old. And I looked at him and my blood ran cold. And I said, "How do you do? My name is Sue. Now you're gonna die." Well, I hit him hard right between the eyes, and he went down. But to my surprise, he came up with a knife and cut off a piece of my ear. But I busted a chair right across his teeth, and we crashed through the wall and into the street, kicking and a-gouging in the blood, in the mud, in the beer. Well, I tell you, I've fought tougher men, but I really can't remember when. He kicked like a mule, and he bit like a crocodile. I heard him laugh, and I heard him cuss. He reached for his gun, but I pulled mine first. And he stood there, looking at me, and I saw him smile. And he said, "Son, this world is rough. And if a man's got to make it, he's got to be tough. And I knew I wouldn't be there to help you along. So I give you that name, and I said goodbye. And I knew you'd have to get tough or die. And it was that name that helped to make you strong." He said, "Now you just fought one hell of a fight. And I know you hate me, and you got the right to kill me now, and I wouldn't blame you if you do. But you ought to thank me before I die for the gravel in your gut and the spit in your eye, because I'm the son of a bleep who named you Sue. What could I do?" Well, I got all choked up, and I threw down my gun, and I called him my pa, and he called me his son, and I came away with a different point of view. And I think about him every now and then, every time I try and every time I win. And I think, if I ever have a son, I'm going to name him Bill or George. Anything but Sue, I still hate that name. Thank you very much, everybody. My name is Ed Bannett, and I want to wish you all a happy Thanksgiving. Thank you, Ellen.
Ed Bannett. And if you go to the Roslindale Open Mic, he's there just about every week. You'll see him there. One more hand for Ed Bannett.